Well, dear friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the one. This is the one who is prophesied of old. The one who relents of disaster. The one who would crush the serpent. The one who blesses his people. The one who comes to be living water. The one who opens the eyes of the blind. The one who would make dry bones live. The one who is obedient to God in our stead. The one who gives us a new covenant in his blood. This is the one. The long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. This is the one who is high and lifted up, exalted. This is none other than God himself. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. His appearance so marred beyond human resemblance. Flesh torn, bones exposed, bruised, battered, beaten, tongue dry, lungs gasping, thorns piercing, nails tearing, repulsive, ugly, grotesque, blood dripping, sprinkling, baptizing the nations. This is the King in his glory, doing what no other king can. Who could believe this? That this is how God works? That of all God's works, of mountains and flowers and ocean depths and soaring skies, atoms and stars, beauty and taste and art and song, that this is how God works his greatest work? That this is God's greatest act? Shame and nakedness and scars and death? I mean, who could believe that the gospel is this scandalous? And this is the one who we expected to come in power and might and majesty. We want a salvation that looks fancy. We want a salvation that glitters. We want a salvation that looks like power. But this one was a nobody. Born in a manger of all places. Born to an unwed mother in the house of a low-income carpenter from backwater Bethlehem. And he grew up in middle of nowhere Nazareth. He was a normal nobody. No military training. No royal pedigree. No world-changing riches, not even an impressive resume. He looked like just another guy. He had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, and no beauty that we should desire Him. No, this is one that we despise and reject. Look at Him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Just another guy dying the death of a common criminal on a cross. Both insulting His distress. Many hands were raised to wound Him. None would intervene to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced Him was the stroke that Jesus gave, or that justice gave. People who die like that must have gotten what was coming to them. He must have deserved it. Some terrible crime, some unspeakable evil, some unimaginable sin. No. This is our sin. This is our sin, not His. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. His appearance marred beyond human resemblance, stricken, smitten, afflicted, grotesque. Our repulsion at His cross is a repulsion at ourselves. This is our sin as it really is. The cross is a mirror. Jesus hangs there bearing our sin. And here, Christ has, with our sin, become the greatest thief, the greatest murderer, the greatest adulterer, robber, desecrator, blasphemer, rebel, addict, tyrant that the world has ever known. He has become our evil. He's become our wickedness, our cruelty. He is the worst of us. The worst of us. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly. Here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears its awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. But on this Good Friday, He does not hang here so that you would feel sorry for Him. Jesus does not need your sympathy. It's the other way around. You need His. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. And that is why it is a Good Friday, because this is the one whose wounds heal. All the world's sin, all the world's curse, the full dose of death itself, all of it is emptied to the very last drop on the one on the cross. His wounds heal us, body and soul, now and forever. Individually and together, they heal our world in every way. His wounds soak up every last drop of evil and tragedy and suffering and grief and transgression and shame and guilt and death. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every last one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is why. This is why he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. While we all like sheep went astray, he, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He went to the cross silently, willingly. I mean, who would do something like that? We live in a world of noisy excuses and self-justifications. But here is one who needed no defense. There was nothing to defend. Making no defense. Jesus before Pilate, Jesus before the high priest, Jesus before the crowd. He who could have called down 12 legions of angels doesn't put up a fight or make any fuss. Who would have guessed that the one who himself was life itself, eternity wrapped in human flesh, would be cut off from the land of the living, buried in the same grave as the wicked? It's what he's come to do. Because you needed the innocent one to take your sin. His mission was to become your ugliness so that you might be healed with his holiness. And that is why the Lord saw it fit to honor him by giving him a rich man's tomb. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief, a soul for a soul, the soul of Jesus offered for yours. But to spoil it, death can't hold him. The crucified one shall live to see his offspring. That's you and me. His offspring by baptism. The one who died on Friday will live to see Sunday. And he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. His defeat is his victory. And by his cross, he plunders hell and frees us for heaven. You and I, dear Christian, you and I, we are the spoils of war. We are Jesus' victory prize. You, dear Christian, are his satisfaction after the anguish of the cross. For Jesus, you make the cross worth it. The righteous one makes you righteous because your iniquities are no longer your own. Life forever has been won, and he distributes the spoils of victory with you through bread and wine. Here we have a firm foundation. Here, the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, is the name of which we boast, Lamb of God, for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built. Friends, this is the one whose wounds heal. In Jesus' name, amen.